newsnews.newsnet. Just look up there at the top at the menus and it says News Survey. And there it is. We'd love to hear from you. Once again, undercurrentsradio.net. Click Survey. Thanks again. It's Undercurrents, coming to you with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Friends of Undercurrents. Big thanks all around. Recorded in New Orleans, the album Storyville. This is Robbie Robertson.
Listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
KBOO has a mobile app. You can listen to all your favorite shows, subscribe to KBOO podcasts, even set KBOO as your alarm clock. Just look for KBOO on the iTunes and Google Play Store. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review.
Hello and welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join me for a visit with leaders in personal development and cultural evolution. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. In the system of divination known as Tarot, each card tells a story that offers a world full of meaning. Learning to decipher those meanings can help you grow your strengths, identify weaknesses, conquer problems, and move on from painful situations. Today, we'll be talking with a professional reader and author with over 44 years of experience, examining how the 22 major arcana cards of Tarot reflect our human condition as seen through the lens of her client readings and personal stories. Our guest today is Julia Gordon Bramer, author of Tarot Life Lessons, Living Wisdom from the Major Arcana. Julia is a professional tarot card reader, a Sylvia Plath scholar, an award-winning writer and poet, and a former professor for the graduate writing program at Linwood University. Listed as one of St. Louis's top 10 psychics, and St. Louis's number one fortune teller, she has appeared on numerous local and regional television and radio shows, as well as appearances on Nickelodeon and MTV. In 2013, the Riverfront Times voted her St. Louis's best local poet. So our guest, Julia, lives in St. Louis, Missouri. And hello, Julia, and welcome to the Pathways program.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so now we're going to talk about the system of divination known as Tarot today. And in the interest of full disclosure, I have to say that I've had a close personal involvement with the tarot business, having been the founder of a website called tarot.com, which facilitated do-it-yourself tarot card readings. So yes. Now that I've said that, maybe the audience will understand if I, you know, come from one point of view or another. But I'm not a tarot card reader, and you're incredible. I mean, I enjoyed your book, but let's start by asking you, how did you become a professional tarot card reader?
Well, that, of course, is the first story in my book. And, you know, I've aligned each story with a tarot card in the major arcana. So the first card, card number zero, is the Fool, and that's my story. And how it begins in Tarot Life Lessons is really me as a weird kind of mystical kid and as a teenager, wandering into a magic shop in the mall. Back in the 1970s, a magic shop was not the kind of metaphysical place we have today with the crystals and the pendulums and all of these great books and everything. Back then, it was more magic tricks, you know, rabbits out of hats, sponge balls, and gag gifts. And so I was looking for something to do on a hot summer day, and I was just kind of nosing around, and this very worldly, you know, 20-something girl from behind the counter says, "Do you want to see some real magic?" And she beckons me over to the counter, and she shows me my first deck of tarot cards. And as I tell in the story, I plunked down my babysitting money there and then, and the rest is history. I never let them go. They have become a part of me and my life, and just, you know, seeded so much of my creativity and been in my writing and in my spiritual practices. I am probably a different sort of reader in the way that I have been. Well, I'm you know, you said 44 years. That was at the time you got my bio. It's over 5 years, approaching 46 years now. I'm 60 years. So I, you know, so I've been on a spiritual path really my whole life, and I have studied a lot. I've studied Buddhism and the Tao, and I study and teach A Course in Miracles, and I practiced creative visualization with like Shakti Gawain, and I read a lot of Wayne Dyer, and so I have all of this stuff that feeds my tarot readings, and I think that's why I'm well-known, certainly in the area. It's probably why I'm the only full-time professional who's making a decent living, at least, you know, because I can give my clients some real tools. And the cards mean so much to me because I apply them to all that I've read and learned over these decades.
So can anybody become a tarot card reader? I mean, how important is it to become educated and familiar with the archetypes and the correspondences of the cards, which involve numerology and all kinds of things?
Sure, anyone can do it. You know, you get a good book and you can get some general ideas, and they can work for you and they can help you in your personal growth process or your creative process. I mean, anyone's capable of pulling a card and, okay, Four of Swords, and looking it up, and, you know, isolation, depression, quiet, you know, and so they can apply it to their life as they need. But I think it's limited. If you're not actively on a spiritual path, I think that when we are working with our psychic abilities and we're trying to develop and expand as spiritual beings, then we are, you know, we're going to be better at it. So not everybody's on that path. Not everybody wants to be.
And did you study the correspondences and the archetypes?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
For a long time, and I think I talk about this in the book, the first book I really learned from, well, I'm going to back up. What I really learned from was what we call the LWBs, the little white booklets that come in the box, just the free things, you know?
Yeah.
I used that for probably 20 years. And I actually think that was a better beginning for me because it didn't give me too much. It gave me just a few key words. And from there, I had to completely lean into my intuition. And I think that was important in me developing my intuition, because if I had just gotten into something more descriptive, then I would sort of have to feel that I was bound to that author's definition, you know?
Right, of course. Yeah. It's so, but, well, that's fascinating. You know, it's like, I've studied it a little bit, and I know there's numerology involved and there's astrology involved. There's a lot of synergy involved. Mm-hmm. And people often ask me, and you bring this up in your book, they would ask me, "Do you really believe in this stuff?" And I would say the same thing that you say in the book. I say, "Oh, you don't have to believe in anything. You know, I think that divination, I would define a divination system as a way to stimulate your intuition to think outside the box around problems that logic can't handle.
Now, you know, the psychologist Carl Jung used tarot, you know, and it's in the same way that a psychologist may use dream analysis. And I think that, you know, all of these symbols on the cards, just as in a dream, they reflect what's going on in our subconscious and in our active personal lives. So the cards are just a tool to reflect that. And when I'm telling, you know, my client what they're looking for, I'm sort of helping them to read their own reading. So I'm giving them the off point.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, well, the archetypes, the whole meaning of archetypes, which Carl Jung sort of coined the term for modern psychology, is that all the archetypes are inside of us. So if you know, you get a certain card pops up because you're focused on something or other, and you draw that card is related to something inside of you. So it's just sort of touching on your part of your subconscious and bringing it to your awareness. It's such that maybe your intuition can improve. And as you say in your book, quote, some people use the tarot only for fortune telling, only asking what will happen. And I think that's a waste of its power. The tarot is a tool to awaken and tame the subconscious to help us grow our strengths and make changes when we identify our weaknesses. You know, I like this idea of taming the subconscious. And can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, well, you know, our subconscious runs a little bit wild sometimes, and that can be problematic. In the Bible, they have you'll see a lot of people get angry when they read in the Bible, especially Old Testament, about this sort of male dominance and female submission, and that's really symbolic because the male side is our consciousness. It's our expression in the world and our sort of active decision-making and actions. And the female side represents the subconscious. And so it isn't really a gender statement in the Bible so much as it's saying that this subconscious is so powerful and it's actually working on the conscious all the time, whether the conscious realizes it or not. And so we have to kind of keep it, and we have to know what's going on. It has to be in communion, so it's not out of balance. Right. Yeah, because that subconscious holds all of our deepest emotions and all of our fears, and you know, and PTSD and anything that if we have anger problems, if we have depression, that's saying the subconscious addictions, you know, the subconscious is ruling then, and this is out of balance because we want to be in control of ourselves. We want to be fully conscious, which is sort of a unity of both consciousnesses.
Right. You know, I want to turn to the issue of the art on the decks, you know, the artist's rendition of the archetypes. You know, in this day and age, everybody and her sister is conjuring up all kinds of decks. You know, you go into the New Age bookstore now and there's 100 decks for sale. And how much trust should a user, a tarot aficionado, put in the various artists' conceptions of the archetypes?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I mean, I think it's a very personal thing, what speaks to the reader. It's also personal what speaks to the client. You know, when my clients are coming to see me, I have this box here with a variety of decks. These are sort of my go-to decks here. And I let my clients choose because I've had this wonderful experience that happens over and over again where they choose just the right deck and it will you know, either say something through me that's extremely applicable to their situation, or many times the cards just look exactly like them or look like their family members or the people who they're asking for. I've had that situation myself with the Alchemical Tarot, the Knight of Swords. This is my son Ross here. It's like, oh my gosh, if you could have caricatured him, it's in the Knight of Swords in this deck. So on my Instagram, I have, if you scroll down a bit, I have a number of clients who are holding a card up next to their faces. And it's uncanny how much they look like their cards that have shown up. And it's just, it amazes me. So I think there's this wonderful synchronicity, you know, just sort of energetically. But getting into the actual meanings, you know, I have come up on some decks that don't speak to me, that I just think, eh. I prefer the Rider-Waite-based decks because I think that, you know, when this was created by Waite and Arthur E. Waite and Pamela Coleman Smith way back at the turn of the century, they nailed it. You know, they got it exactly right. And the pictures speak volumes. There's so much in each picture. And one of my stories in Tarot Life Lessons, in fact, I had a drunk guy grab the cards from me. He says, "Give me those cards. I'm going to read for you." And he didn't know anything about the tarot, but he was just kind of riffing off the pictures. And he gave me quite a good reading because he just, you know, wasn't... just wasn't attached to any sort of appropriate meaning. You know, he didn't have any rules to it. He was just open, just liquid, being drunk, you know. And so those pictures are loaded and they say so much. And I just think that that's super valuable. So for me, the Rider-Waite-based decks are good. Now, that said, you know, I don't have it here handy, but I like the Hermetic Tarot as well. I use the Thoth deck every now and then. There's some that are sort of outside. You know, occasionally I'll get into something like the Round Mother Piece deck, or you know, just playing with some more creative, really systems. But for me, the Rider-Waite-based deck, that's what I go to time and time again. That's what I'm going to give my best readings on. And I just think it's the best.
Okay. Now, Tarot Life Lessons is a book of stories, and yes, includes some tips on how to read the tarot. I found the stories very engaging. You know, it's obvious that you're a writer. I mean, you're a very good writer, and I can see why you would have won. Well, you've been educated at it, and you've won awards at it. But who is this book for? It's a book of stories, but it has some tips about reading the cards.
Yeah. So, you know, that's funny you say, who is it for? Because my working title for this book was The Tarot Diaries. And it actually came out of my own journals. I wrote it for myself. Every time I would have one of those readings that just rocked me, I recorded it in my journal, and I wanted to remember what cards came up, and I wanted to remember what the people said. And so I wrote it just for myself, and I put it away, and I collected these stories over the years. And my husband suggested that I put it together. I did this during 2020. I did it probably in a few months of just digging through my journals, and I decided to align each story with a card. But, you know, I kind of slapped them together that I had written over maybe 10 years of being a professional tarot card reader. So it's an unusual tarot book because there are so many books out there on how to read tarot. And this is not that. This is more real life practical application of the cards and how it affected my clients and how things showed up, how it affected me in many cases, too. Because I like to say I'm not positioning myself as a guru with all of the knowledge of the universe here. I am this very human, very flawed person who sometimes got riled up and, you know, baited into some angry stuff.
Yes.
Sometimes insulted, sometimes hurt, you know, sometimes feeling very powerless that I'm unable to help a client that I really wanted to help. I have one really peculiar reading where somebody actually impersonated me out in the world, and that was very. So there's some, you know, there's a manslaughter in there. There is a murder in there. There's a person who never knew love, an old person who never knew love his entire life. There's a person very much on the spectrum. There are con artists. There are gold diggers. There are people with addiction issues. I've seen it all over these many, many years.
I was just going to say, is it typical for tarot readers to keep a journal like that?
I have no idea.
Because you're a writer at heart.
Yeah, I think so, because I'm a writer. And I loved the creative process of capturing it for myself. So I wrote it for me initially. And then, you know, but I do believe that when something comes from the heart, when you feel like you're sort of channeling something, when it excites you and, you know, it's spirit, and it's going to speak to other people too. So it was a very odd thing that I didn't know who would even want this book, because it doesn't fit into the traditional tarot book kind of category. But Inner Traditions is a fantastic publisher, and they took that chance on me, and my other book, The Occult, Sylvia Plath, as well.
Okay. So are the stories you relate in the book typical tarot card reading experiences for you?
These are the special ones, I think.
Yeah, I would think, yeah.
I don't see murder every day.
Yeah,
I hope not.
So you've aligned each story with a card from the major arcana. Mm-hmm. Tell me why you did it this way. Because there's 56 other cards, so.
Right, I'll tell you exactly why I did it. And I explain that a little bit in my story also, in under the Fool card, because I learned that Sylvia Plath, who is my subject of scholarship and the subject of my other books, she aligned her work with the tarot, mostly the major arcana, but also she got into the minors. I just didn't have that many stories at that time.
Right.
People telling me I need to get a
that'd be a very long book.
Yeah. And I may do it. I have some more stories since I wrote that, so I may do it. So I learned that this mystical system here, Plath and her husband, Ted Hughes, both use this mainly for poetry, but it is a powerful system, and it sort of puts a spell on people, and it is a cohesive, you know, it's Joseph Campbell's mythical journey. It's, you know, it's that process of evolution. Shakespeare even used it when he says all the world's a stage and we are merely players. And then he goes step by step in the evolution of man, starting from the Fool card, and then the boy going to school, which is the magician, and, you know, and it goes on and on. So this is the archetypal system of growth and experience, and it works on us all, on our subconscious. Every culture has a mother figure, a father figure, the lovers, the wise man, the wheel of fortune, you know, that good luck, that bounty, death, you know, we all experience all of this stuff.
Right.
And so the major arcana is the best representation of the stories that we all go through.
Okay, so if someone's tarot cards reveal something negative or terribly uncomfortable, how do you soften it when you deliver the news?
So I usually tell my new clients that tarot shows you the path that you're on. And if we see something coming up that we don't like, it's an opportunity to do it differently. So, you know, I'm never going to tell them they're doomed. You know, if something's coming up ahead, this is an opportunity to change our energy, to change our actions. That said, we can't change the past, of course, but we can learn from it. We can't change others, but we can change a reaction to what they're doing. So I'm always going to give them advice that way.
Right. Okay. And at the end of each chapter, you offer tips for beginning tarot card readers. Can you comment on these?
Yeah, so that actually came out of an old blog that I had done a long time ago that just got a really good response. And I wanted to answer the questions that I keep getting. And so I just thought that that would be a helpful place to put it. And I just planted a tip that seemed, you know, maybe kind of related to the story that came before it. And so, you know, I talk about buying one's own cards versus having to be gifted them, which is a classic kind of belief. You know, I think it's a superstition. Somebody as active with tarot as me, if I waited for people to gift me cards, you know, I go through cards, through many decks a year, because my clients are filling them and they get worn out. So, you know, I talk about things like that. I talk about shuffling. I talk about layouts and if there are rules to things, which, you know, I'm really a believer. Maybe this is my Sagittarian nature, but I'm a believer in no rules. I follow what my heart tells me and what my intuition tells me. And so it's, you know, it's just a situation that I think that people can get really clogged up in their intuition by thinking that they're going to do it wrong, or they're going to read a card wrong, or that one card only has these particular meanings, which is just not true. I have read cards sometimes completely different from anything that any book would tell me, but because something came to me and the picture maybe told me something else. So we really have to learn to go on more on our intuition than these rules.
Well, we're just about running out of time, believe it or not. It's gone so fast, but I want to just ask one last question here. Reading the stories in Tarot Life Lessons, there are lessons in love, money, sex, death, and so much more. What is the overall message or lesson you'd like readers to take away?
I would say that we're one, that we're all connected, that we're all human, we're all complex. Nobody is all good or all bad. You know, we're just this big swirl of emotions and actions, and we are all connected just by virtue of being alive.
It's so beautiful, and it's such a great message to end on. And I want to thank you so much for being on our show today. There's so much more we could explore, but we've run out of time. But before we go, I want to tell our listeners about your website, which is juliagordonbramer.com.
That's right.
Julia Gordon Bramer, B-R-A-M-E-R, all one word, .com.
Uh-huh, that's right.
Now, for those who may have tuned into Pathways late, this is your host, Paul O'Brien, author of Intuitive Intelligence, a book that shares the theme of Pathways, which is personal and cultural evolution. Now, don't worry, you can play or share this interview whenever you want via the internet or as a free podcast, and I'll tell you how in a minute. Today, we've been visiting with Julia Gordon Bramer, author of Tarot Life Lessons, Living Wisdom from the Major Arcana. And I think you can find out more about her other books, including one on Sylvia Plath, at juliagordonbramer.com.
Thank you.
I want to say thank you to all of our listeners for tuning into Pathways, which is broadcast and streamed on the internet at www.kboo.fm every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. USA Pacific time. And even better, podcasts of today's show, which you can listen to and forward to others, are available for free at divination.com. That's spelled divination.com, as well as via iTunes, Paulo's YouTube channel, and other free podcast servers. This is Paul O'Brien reminding you to tell your friends about Pathways Radio and podcasts. And thanks again to Julia Gordon Bramer and to all of you listeners for tuning in and being a part of the Pathways conversation.
This is KBOO Portland, volunteer-powered community radio.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1930.